This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Why emotional control feels impossible when you are sleep-deprived or physically stressed during conflict. How your body quietly dismantles your ability to stay calm under fire. In short, emotional control does not fail because you lack discipline. It fails because sleep deprivation and physical stress chemically rewire your brain's threat system before you walk into the room. A single poor night of sleep raises emotional reactivity significantly, often without you noticing. Physical stress, including hunger, pain, and prolonged tension, produces the same effect. Recognizing your body's state before a conflict starts is the most important skill you can build. Definition: emotional control. Sleep deprivation is the measurable collapse of your capacity to regulate reactions during conflict when physical exhaustion or stress has impaired the brain's impulse management system, leaving you reactive, rigid, and unable to recover your composure once triggered. You handled the morning meeting without incident. You felt fine, or at least functional. Then a colleague raised a concern in a flat, matter-of-fact tone, and something in you ignited. You said more than you intended. You read hostility where there probably was none. By the afternoon you were asking yourself what happened, because that is not who you are in a conflict. Here is what happened. You were already compromised before the conversation started. Emotional control under pressure is not purely a skill you either have or do not have. It depends, fundamentally, on the physical condition of the person trying to exercise it. Sleep deprivation and physical stress do not just make you tired. They alter the specific brain structures responsible for pausing before you react, for reading tone accurately, and for recovering your ground once you lose it. The warning signs are real, they are measurable, and they are almost always mistaken for something else. How physical depletion gets misread as a character problem. The reason these signs go unnoticed is that they look like personality, not physiology. A person who snaps at a colleague after three poor nights of sleep does not think, "My prefrontal cortex is under-resourced." They think that person is being unreasonable. Or worse, the people around them think it and say nothing. Fatigue-driven reactivity gets labelled as aggression, arrogance, or poor communication skills. Physical stress masquerades as a bad attitude. Over time, a pattern of conflict during depleted periods gets treated as a character flaw that needs coaching, when what it actually needs is rest, nutrition, and a moment of self-awareness before the conversation begins. This matters because a person who believes they have a character flaw works on the wrong problem entirely. 6 signs your body is undermining your emotional control. 1. You act before you have fully heard the sentence. What it looks like: you interrupt, you finish other people's sentences incorrectly, or you feel a surge of certainty about someone's intent before they have finished speaking. Why it happens: sleep loss accelerates threat detection. Your nervous system, running short on recovery, treats ambiguity as danger and starts pattern matching aggressively. A flat tone becomes an attack. A neutral question becomes a challenge. Why it matters: you are responding to a story your brain wrote, not the one being told. Most conflicts that spiral out of control start here, with a reaction to something that was not actually said. You can read more about this in the article on what the amygdala hijack is and how it silently blocks team synergy. What to do before any important conversation after a poor night's sleep: set one rule for yourself, finish the other person's full thought before your response begins to form. It is a small discipline, but it creates just enough delay for accuracy. This is the sign I missed most often in my 40s. I was convinced I was a good listener. I was not listening at all. I was anticipating and defending. 2. You cannot find your way back after getting triggered. What it looks like: once the tone of a conversation shifts or someone says something that stings, you cannot reset. The rest of the exchange happens through that lens, no matter how the other person tries to redirect. Why it happens: emotional flooding under physical stress is harder to clear, because the cortisol already circulating in your system acts as fuel for the fire. The normal recovery window doubles or triples. Your body is slow to signal safe again. Why it matters: conflict resolution requires the ability to move between states: upset, composed, curious, firm. If you are stuck in one state, you are not resolving anything. You are just enduring the conversation. What to do: build a physical reset into any conflict conversation. Stand up, step out for 90 seconds if the format allows, breathe out slowly and fully. Exhaling longer than you inhale is the fastest way to shift your nervous system from threat mode. This is not a soft suggestion. It is physiology. I used to think needing a moment to collect myself was weakness. It is the opposite. It takes more courage to step back than to stay, and make it worse. 3. Everything becomes either fine or catastrophic. What it looks like. You find yourself thinking in absolutes. They always do this. This will never change. Minor setbacks start to feel like evidence of larger failures. Why it happens. Sleep deprivation impairs Nguyen's thinking. The brain under stress reverts to binary categorization because it is computationally cheaper. Nuance requires resources. Your exhausted prefrontal cortex does not currently have. Why it matters. Binary thinking produces binary choices in conflict, capitulate or escalate. The middle ground, where most workable resolutions lie, becomes invisible. What to do? When you notice yourself using always or never in your internal narrative, treat it as a red flag about your own state, not as evidence about the other person. Ask yourself, is this a pattern or is this Tuesday after 4 hours of sleep? 4. You feel physically braced before the conversation starts. What it looks like. Tight jaw. Raised shoulders. Shallow breathing. A sense of bracing for impact before a word has been exchanged. Why it happens. This one is genuinely counterintuitive. Most people assume physical tension arrives in response to conflict. In the physically stressed or sleep-deprived person, the tension arrives first, and then they enter the conversation already in a threat state. The conflict did not create the physiology. The physiology created the conflict's outcome. Why it matters. You walk into the room already at a disadvantage. The other person is starting from neutral ground. You are starting from a crouch. Understanding the role of emotional intelligence in de-escalation starts with recognizing when your own body is already running the wrong program. What to do? Check your body before you check the agenda. If your shoulders are up and your jaw is set, that is the first thing to address. 2 minutes of slow breathing before entering the room changes what you're walking in with. The body leads. The mind follows. I learned this the hard way in more arguments than I care to count. 5. You regret what you said far more often on certain days. What it looks like. A recurring pattern, where the conversations that go badly cluster around specific periods end of a long project, after travel, during illness, or following weeks of disrupted sleep. Why it happens. You have a consistent emotional threshold. Physical depletion lowers that threshold predictably and repeatedly. The pattern is there if you're willing to look for it honestly. Why it matters. This is actually the most useful sign on this list, because it is retrospective evidence you can act on prospectively. If you can see the pattern, you can prepare for it. Signs of amygdalar hijack problems in real time often trace back to exactly these depleted states. What to do? Keep a simple record for 30 days. Note the days a conflict conversation went badly, and the quality of your sleep or physical state the night before. The correlation will not take long to emerge. 6. You lose access to curiosity. What it looks like. You stop asking questions during conflict. You stop genuinely wondering what the other person means or needs. You are in transmission mode, only defending, explaining, correcting. Why it happens. Curiosity requires cognitive safety. When the body is in a stress state, the brain prioritizes self-protection over inquiry. Asking a real question feels dangerously open. Answering feels controlled. Why it matters. Curiosity is not a soft skill in conflict resolution. It is the primary tool for finding the path out. Without it, you are circling. Frameworks like the DEAL method for resolving team conflicts and the GROW method for turning feedback into a plan both depend on your ability to ask real questions and hear real answers. What to do? Prepare one genuine question before any difficult conversation. Write it down. Something like, what is the part of this that matters most to you? Having it ready means you can use it even when your instinct is to defend. The root that produces all of these signs. The pattern underneath every sign on this list is the same: a nervous system operating in threat mode before the conflict begins. Individual signs are symptoms. The root is physiological. Sleep deprivation and physical stress elevate cortisol, suppress prefrontal cortex function, and prime the amygdala for threat detection. The result is a person who is neurologically less equipped for the exact skills conflict requires: patience, perspective, impulse control, and the capacity to hear what is actually being said. This is not a character observation. It is biology. The trouble is that it presents as character, which is why so many people spend years working on their communication skills while continuing to schedule critical conversations at the end of exhausting weeks. A quick check you can run before any difficult conversation. Read each statement below. Answer yes or no honestly. I slept fewer than 6 hours in the last 2 nights. I have eaten irregularly today or yesterday. I am currently carrying physical tension in my shoulders, jaw, or chest. I have already felt irritable or reactive in the last 2 hours. I feel braced or defensive about how this conversation will go. I have been physically unwell in the last 5 days. I have not had a genuine break from work demands in the last 4 days. Scoring 0 to 1 yes answers. Your physical state is not working against you. Proceed with your normal preparation. 2 to 3 yes answers. You are operating below your threshold. Take 20 minutes before the conversation. Breathe, move, eat something if needed. Approach with deliberate care. 4 or more yes answers. Postpone the conversation if it is at all possible. If it cannot wait, name your state to yourself clearly before you enter. I am depleted right now, and I will need to listen more carefully than usual. That self-awareness alone is a buffer. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to go from here? The first move is not to become a better communicator. It is to become more aware of your physical state before a high-stakes conversation begins. Check your body with the same seriousness you check your preparation. If the signs above are present, the conversation deserves to wait, or at minimum, to begin with slower breath and wider listening. From there, the practical work of de-escalation becomes far more accessible. The article on how to de-escalate team conflict without destroying trust gives your direct method to apply once you are in a conversation you cannot postpone. When repair is needed afterward, the piece on how to apologize in a way that actually restores trust covers exactly how to do that without losing credibility. The body is not separate from the conversation. It is the ground the conversation stands on. Take care of the ground, and emotional control sleep deprivation loses most of its power over you. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional control sleep deprivation? Emotional control sleep deprivation describes the collapse of your ability to manage reactions during conflict when you are undressed. Sleep loss impairs the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that regulates impulse and rational thought, leaving your threat response system dominant and your composure fragile. How does sleep deprivation affect emotional control during conflict? Sleep deprivation raises cortisol levels and heightens amygdala reactivity, making you read neutral comments as hostile and small tensions as emergencies. Your ability to pause before reacting shrinks significantly. Even one poor night can lower your emotional threshold enough to derail a conversation you would normally handle with ease. Can physical stress destroy emotional control even without sleep loss? Yes. Physical stress from hunger, pain, illness, or prolonged tension produces the same cortisol spike as sleep deprivation. Your nervous system enters a low-level threat state, narrowing your thinking and shortening your emotional fuse well before any conflict begins. What are the signs that sleep deprivation is affecting my emotional control? Watch for disproportionate reactions to small comments, an inability to recover once triggered, black and white thinking, physical tension in your jaw or shoulders before a conversation starts, and a pattern of regretting what you said shortly after. These signs often appear before you consciously feel tired. How do you improve emotional control when you are physically stressed? Start by postponing non-urgent conflict conversations until your body is in a better state. Before any difficult exchange, slow your breathing deliberately for 60 seconds. Name your physical state to yourself before you name your grievance to anyone else. This creates enough space for the rational brain to engage. Why does emotional control feel impossible when I am tired? Because fatigue does not just make you slow. It actively disrupts the brain circuitry responsible for impulse regulation, empathy, and perspective taking. You are not weaker or less professional when sleep deprived. You are operating with a measurably reduced capacity for the exact skills conflict resolution requires. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.